What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KMOX, happy Friday to you. Michael Kelly is here from Hancock and Kelly. Good to see you, man. Haven't seen you in a while.
Good to see you. You're flipping the drumstick today. That's impressive.
Thank you.
How long did it take you to learn to do that?
60 years.
Really?
No, not that long. I could teach you. So we have beaten the horse dead and resurrected it and beaten it again. But I have to give you a say in this debacle with Snowmageddon, Snowgate here in St. Louis. I heard you on Chris and Amy, and I heard you this morning with Johnny. And I just want you to kind of repeat your thoughts and your analysis of this, if you could.
I left town on Sunday for a couple of days, came back last night, came down Del Mar off of 170 because of traffic, and could not believe that Del Mar still had snow cover on it. This is the focus of our region, right? The divide, the everything. And it made me realize, wow, nothing's been done. I'm not shocked, Dave. I kind of feel like the guy who's been crying wolf for 3 or 4 years about all of this stuff. Everything's failing in the city of St. Louis. The prison's having deaths. They still haven't fixed the locks. We have problems at the SLDC and handing out ARPA money, literally handing out free money. They're giving it to folks that they don't know is going. We have a school district that went from a surplus to a deficit with no oversight. They couldn't pick the kids up to take them to school on the first day. And now we have a streets director this week who says she had no idea the roads were this bad. And then you couple that with a mayor who's out traveling right now in Washington, D.C. She's at the U.S. Conference of Mayors. It's probably a place a mayor should go. I don't know that it's a place that a mayor should go in the midst of a crisis. I would have a feeling right now if there was a governor's conference going on, I'm not sure Gavin Newsom would be in Orlando at the conference. And so really, I think that what this comes down to is just city is failing, and it's failing because this rudderless ship of chaos may not just be exclusive to the prosecutor's office in the past. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of critics out there who want to say, hey, what would you have done different? You know, there's limited resources here. And I believe that to probably be the case. I think they probably don't have the equipment to be able to address the needs. But you got to be present. That's something that someone can do. You want to be the mayor. You ran for this job. This is when you have to be there in crisis. Jay Nixon did it during the Joplin tornado. And these types of natural disasters can make or break a politician. And unfortunately for the mayor, I think this one probably is fatal, politically fatal, in the sense that, I mean, she's got discontent wide across the city, all aldermen pointing fingers, and it looks as being exposed that there's no leadership and no discipline when your own streets director says, I have no clues that the streets were this bad. This is third world country stuff. You know, I would have expected this roads to look like this maybe 2 or 3 days after an epic snowstorm. But 13 days later, this is not only inexcusable, it needs to be corrected. So what's the problem here? Well, the problem is people are getting elected in the city of St. Louis based on these global ideas. We're going to fix this new society. And it's probably a frustration born out of the fact that we have administrations both in Jefferson City and getting ready to start in Washington, D.C., that really haven't maybe solved some of the issues that deal that cities are dealing with, homelessness and poverty. But progressivism, when it came in, I've been a staunch opponent against it simply because it's all a great idea. I'm for fixing some of this stuff. But you can't fix it. You can't decide what kind of accoutrements you're going to put on top of the cake when you can't bake the cake. And that's where we're at right now. We're not able to do the basics. And so I'm hopeful that we're going to have a discussion in these upcoming elections on actual issues of making a city run, because that's what we've got to have. Finally, I'm sorry this soliloquy is taking so long, but this is not only a city problem. This is a region problem. This is a bi-state problem. This is deteriorating quickly. It needs to be fixed because it's ultimately it's got a trickle-down effect. And I've mentioned this in the past to you that, you know, I have nieces and nephews, and some of them are school teachers and work in hospitals and in government and do a lot of the stuff that you need structurally in a community. But to a T, the ones who went on to become lawyers, financial advisors, accountants, engineers, they've gone elsewhere. And that deterioration of population is not the city of St. Louis. That's happening in St. Charles. That's happening in Madison County. And if that continues to go, this demographic winter that we're in of getting older and evaporating is only going to feed on itself. And we will continue to live in our glory days with angst and hope for a future that hopefully can get rectified.
So, big question, maybe an unfair question, but let's say that Kara Spencer wins the election coming up in a few months, and she taps you and says, I want you to be an advisor. What do you advise her?
For full disclosure, Dave, my companies are working in support of Kara Spencer. So you should know that when I say that I'm not a government person, but what I would totally do, look, I'm grateful that there are people who want to get out there and do this, because I'm not sure this job is doable right now in the current situation that we have. But what you can do, and number one, is be president, have an eagerness to want to address the problems. And number three, you've got to have a management structure that's going to hold folks accountable, and it starts at the top. When the boss is in the office, people show up in the office, and people get things delivered. And when you have accountability and there's a structure and an understanding of the way things are supposed to work, that's what you've got to do. I would get back to the square basics of it all. But I fear that the problem that one might have going into this job now is not only are you going to be dealing with the circumstances of failing government, but you could potentially be dealing with circumstances that are out of your control that were established 100 years ago. Pension funds that could potentially need a shoring up when you have less money, etc. And so it's just a doomsday cycle that starts to feed on itself. So I think you've got to get back to the most molecular level and make the city run.
Wheels, you had something on the Google Doc. I think it was Sean Malone that had the story of the aldermen were not holding back.
No, did you see this? I'm sure you saw. You were talking about it, but I thought that some of the things that Sean dug up, he talked to the Board of Aldermen, and he tweeted this earlier this morning, but I thought it was interesting. So Sean went out and asked the aldermen to describe in one word the job the city has done with this snow thing, right? And the words that he got were insufficient, failure, meh, reprehensible, unacceptable, and sabotage. Like, I'm sure that was maybe figurative, but the point is, like,
and I appreciate it.
None of those things are, I mean, these are from people that should be, like, in a perfect world, would be working with you, right? They work together to get things done, but they're obviously frustrated.
Right.
And can't, and they're hearing it from
that's exactly
the
what's
that
going
they
on.
Represent.
They're hearing it from the people. But
yeah.
Listen, I'm not sure. Look, there are great people who serve on the Board of Aldermen, and I know them all to be very well intentioned. To the final one of them, every one of them wants what's best for the city of St. Louis. But their hands aren't clean here, Kev.
Sure.
I mean, this is this city. Most of what you're going to hear, if you go look at the BOA bills that get introduced inside the city of St. Louis, they've got a policy on Gaza. They've got a carbon emissions policy. They've got an idea on how they're going to make this the most eco-friendly place, et cetera, et cetera. They can't pick up the trash. People are electing folks in the city of St. Louis based on these lofty ideas. And I've yet seen the cycle break. There have been candidates in the past who've talked about basic government services. It didn't go well. What went well was, is we're going to reimagine criminal justice reform, et cetera. And that's come from the Board of Aldermen as well.
Yeah.
So if the big takeaway from this storm is that this government failed and it needs to get back to the basics, I think that's great. Having an election for both the aldermen and the mayor and all the elected officials that gets back focused on the policies of what can be done rather than the pie in the sky ideas of that what's never been done.
So is this happening because the only way to appeal to voters is to hit them with those big, larger, emotional, national issues? Or it is... Is it like you're just worried about climbing? Is you're like, well, if I talk about these things and I get elected on this, I can then turn into a higher office in four years and a higher office than that?
No, I don't think it's that. I don't think this is about climbing a ladder. I think people are very well-intentioned with the ideas they have. I believe Megan Green when she says she wants to bring about transformational change in city government. She's a progressive. That's, to me, something that should be layered on top of the basic government services.
Right.
But why is her message connecting? I think it's because we live in a red state. We live in a country where, guess what, homelessness and poverty really isn't getting addressed from the federal level. We all talk about healthcare, how messed up healthcare is, but nothing seems to get done. We have school shootings in urban areas and guns going crazy, but we have no conversation about guns. So I think the natural... human instinct is, hey, the one place where we're at, where we're dealing with the issues, we're going to try to introduce legislation to get this stuff taken care of. And the reality is they don't have the resources, the ability, or the legal authority in many of those instances to fix those problems. But it resonates with their constituents because it's the life we're living.
Excellent discussion.
Yeah, great.
Excellent
answer.
Discussion. DGS, Michael Kelly here with us. That was the best rant I've heard you do, honestly. It was even better than you did this morning. One more question, then we'll move on to some lighter topics. But I understand fully, I believe, the concept that you guys are talking about, that we're talking about national pie-in-the-sky sort of issues when we should be talking about how we fix the potholes. I get that. But why do you think that leads to the election appointment and hiring of incompetent people? Why can't they hire competent partisans?
I don't know. Maybe it's because they come in with the folks who are going to implement these other things, and they have no idea how to make the basic things run. I'm going to assume the intentions are right, that if your number one focus is homelessness, you probably are bringing in leadership who understands how to deal with homelessness. And, oh, wait, now we're in charge of streets and trash and water. And, oh, my goodness, we don't know this stuff. And there is something in both the city and the county right now. There's been bills introduced, obviously, as a reaction to this, to go to more of a county management, a county administrator style, similar to what Kansas City has. It takes some of the politics out of it. It makes one person accountable for the actual machine of government. I know it's widely popular. I don't know that it's going to be the salvation that everybody envisions it would be, particularly in this dim circumstance we find ourselves right now.
Yeah.
Any alternative looks better. Look, I think long term, we have got to come to the realization that we have an antiquated government that was written pre-Civil War that no longer works. It's not specific to the city of St. Louis. That's not working. The system we have in the county. These are very unpopular things I'm saying right now, but it's the truth. The county system, I live in Flores, St. Webster, you know, Kirkwood, blah, blah, blah. This is all silly. It makes no sense. We pay more for government than any other like same city in the country. We've had opportunities to change it every decade of my life. We greet it with the same ball bat that we hope that the Cardinals will take to the plate. But I'm beginning to think that circumstances beyond anybody's well-intentioned control may force others to make those decisions for us.
Makes sense.
Seems, yeah.
Meaning so, a state is going to have to do it. And Kevin, you've lived through it up in Detroit. It can be better.
It got better in part because they did that, but they also bottomed out, right? They hit bankruptcy and, you know, they had corruption. They had, I think, a mayor went to prison.
And I would argue to this day, Detroit's not the same relevant city it was 40 years ago.
No, it's bounced back. Like, it's doing better.
When they started their spiral, but they're not where they once were. And the climbing out of the hole takes some time.
It took almost my whole life for that to change around. I don't remember it when it was the bustling, you know, big deal. And I'm 53 years old. And just like in the last few years, it's become an example like Indy or Casey or whatever, where it's been like, all right, look at this. It's bouncing back. They've got things. They've got stuff.
So we're sitting on $500 million, and I don't expect you in 2 minutes to give me an accounting what you would do. What's the number one thing you'd do with the money?
Crime and safety. I think you've got to deal with that in infrastructure. We're grateful. We're lucky, man. Because of our legacy, we've got a lot of big companies here that have lots of good jobs. Whether it be out at the airport with Boeing, whether it be the NGA that's here, the Enterprise family, you've got to have the mobility so that they can attract employees and that those employees feel safe. People want to go to those kind of places. And as long as you can focus on that, it's at least a building block. Then you go from there. But I think it's got to be crime and public safety. And much like Detroit had to deal with its, you know, legacy of being a rust belt and, you know, nothing was going to happen there anymore, we're kind of defined as crime. So we need to turn that around. And so to fix the crime perception from my spot, hitting the average isn't going to work. We're going to have to excel so that we can beat back the well-earned stink that's got on us.
I said that the other day. We had a meeting about radio being old legacy radio, and I held up my phone and I said, we can't be as good as what's on this phone. We have to be so much better to even be even. And that's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
We can't just bat 250. We got to bat 400.
Right. Just to get past our image, and then we get to be treated right again. But you're definitely batting 400 or 500.
You need a hitting streak.
I think you're fine, brother.
Excellent. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
6 a.m. day after Christmas. I throw some clothes on in the dark. The smell of cold, car seat is freezing. The world is sleeping, I am. Stairs to her apartment. She is balled up on the couch.
Wheels, you probably hate this, don't you? Ben Folds 5. Have you even heard of him?
I'm going to follow my mom's advice.
Nothing good to say.
It's just not my style.
Yeah, I feel you.
Not a judgment. I don't judge bad or good. I just
do you ever?
Like that right there
yes,
is so
you do.
Slow. No.
What
I mean, like,
you don't judge bad or good.
I don't judge a larger bad or good. Good or bad for me, not for anyone else.
I feel you. Hey, Dave.
Hello there.
Do you ever regret that you're not as open or interested in other types of music? Do you ever feel like you're missing out on something?
No.
See, I do. Like, no. I didn't get into ska. I didn't get into hip hop. I was just taking a lap with Big D over here at the Urban Stations, and he's doing a remix, and I'm going to go listen to it. And I told him, I'm like, yeah, you know, it's like slalom skiing. You don't hit everyone.
Right.
And I missed out on certain genres, and hip hop's one of them, but my kids are way into it. And
that's the one I hit. I mean, it's like my second one. If you had to pick a second genre outside of the heavy stuff, it would
I'll
be.
Listen
but
to
but
anything.
It would be also more old school. Is because that's where I came up listening to when it broke through, like, on the national level, when it was Public Enemy and Run DMC was probably the first that hit our area for the kids at that time.
Now, I as a musician, I really appreciate, for example, Keith Urban. Not into his songs, but that mofo can play the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who can rap, especially like the freestyle stuff, that's next level genius.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I can sing pretty much anything you put in front of me. I could never do that. That is otherworldly to me.
You know who you need to check out?
What's
Dave,
that?
As a unbelievable guitar player,
he's
is Mac McAnally.
Don't know
Coral Reefer Band. Well, he played with Buffett for years. Mm. He won CMA Best Guitarist for like 11 years in a row. You really should listen
out.
To him.
Yeah, I will check that out. There's so much. Isn't it crazy in life, and Dave, we're similar ages, that you live a good life and you get into the stuff you get into and you have your favorite movies and your favorite music and your favorite food, but you miss out on 99% of stuff in the world. And it's impossible to hit everything, but that'd be the best advice I could give my kids is just like, try everything. You give everything a shot.
Listen to everything. Yeah, like I became somewhat of a fan of Nelly only about 2 years ago.
Oh, very cool.
I just like some of his stuff.
Yeah. Steve just sent us a story that there's a rumor that he may play at the inaugural. Now, it may just be a rumor or a TikTok
or
something.
Or maybe one of the parties.
Yeah, maybe one of the parties.
I'm going to Google
it. He does have a couple songs that reference Donald Trump.
Really?
Yeah. Now, from way back in the day, you know, from like 2001. But yeah, Donald Trump popped up on a couple of his songs. You know who's a super huge diehard Nelly fan?
Who's that?
Our dear friend Ricky Horton.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
He loves Nelly.
And he's probably my best friend in the world, and I didn't know that.
See, you're his best friend. You got to know
this. Yeah, gosh.
Keep it in the pocket.
I better text him right now. You take over.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, there are lots of reports that it's going to be, that he's going to be performing at the Inauguration Liberty Ball.
Cool.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what, is that the big one? Is that the, I don't know. I don't know anything about any of that stuff. I just ignore it.
I'm disappointed that they moved the inaugural inside. Not that I want to see anyone suffer.
I do.
Get frostbite.
Get out in the cold like the rest of us, you softies.
But it would have been much more interesting to watch.
You got coats and gloves? Good God.
And it's kind of there was tradition.
I can't remember who it was. There was a president who walked in like a deep freeze and died a
got
couple
sick.
Months later.
William Henry Harrison was his
there
name.
There you go.
Look at Andrew.
Yeah, but that was
30
like,
days.
Wow. That was back when you died from everything.
His inauguration was like 0 degrees and he did it all outside and he got some kind of
pneumonia or something,
and he'd lived for 30 more days, but was super sick the whole time, and he ended up passing away.
Yeah, they didn't have thermal gloves and puffy coats back then.
Yeah.
True. Dave, it's going to be a really interesting weekend, right?
Yes, it really is. We got into the mid-50s today. That's the warmest we've been since December 28th.
Woo!
Yeah, that's a pretty good stretch of cold weather. But the Arctic cold front is going to be coming through after midnight tonight. We've got a little bit of light rain. Prime time is going to be 8 p.m. until about midnight. It's all rain. Temperatures will be in the 40s for evening plans. It'll be windy, too, especially after midnight as the winds kick to the northwest. We'll eventually fall to 26. But before we even get close to the freezing point, the moisture's all out of the system. It's not a lot of rain. Tomorrow is kind of the transition day. It's windy. It's kind of cloudy. There'll be some sun peeking out from time to time. Temperatures will hold in the 20s all day long. If anything, we'll start to drop off mid to late afternoon. But the wind will make it feel colder. 12 degrees and windy on Saturday night. Wind chills Saturday night below zero. Sunday, sunny. Little lighter wind, 19. Monday, sunny and 15. Tuesday, sunny and 15. Cold, cold start Wednesday, but we should get above freezing, probably in the mid-30s on Wednesday afternoon, upper 30s for Thursday and Friday.
Dave, I know you're not with the street department, but would you expect this to make the roads treacherous like Saturday, Sunday, or do you think there will be that much precipitation?
No, the light rain we see tonight will evaporate off the roads very quickly, mainly due to the wind. So I know there's places that are still dealing with this ice pack, but and there will be, obviously there was melting today in some places. I'm not worried about freezing temperatures until after midnight, but obviously first thing in the morning, of any place that melted, we'll probably have a couple of slick spots.
Dave, what's the vibe like in California? Is it more hopeful these days?
No.
No.
Not at all. It's because now stories are coming out that a lot of these folks didn't have insurance, couldn't afford insurance. And the bigger story is that it appears due to some little law that got sneaked through last year is that the residents of California may have to pick up the bill for this.
What would that look like, Mike?
The rumor is on this that insurance bills, home insurance bills, will at least double, if not more.
Man, oh man.
So we're looking at some homes outside of the state.
I'm not joking. We really are.
We really are.
Welcome back to St. Louis.
Yeah, that's right.
And landlords like crazy have been hiking up rent.
Oh, there's
left
some
and right.
Yeah, there's some stories, and these are amazing numbers. People are looking for houses to rent, not necessarily to buy, though they feel that is coming. But there are landlords who have a house to rent for $15,000 a month, which is an insane number to begin with.
Yeah,
and they have 5, 6, 7 offers, and the house goes for like $50,000 a month.
And if you go and you seek on the, you know, like listing websites, you look up what 3 months ago that house was being offered for, it's like $10,000.
Right.
So
exactly.
What's the word I'm looking for? Is that predatory or is
gouging?
That just the way it is?
Gouging. I think it is going to be labeled as gouging, but there's this fine line between gouging and
supply and demand. Hear the like very very loose laws against that are like very hard to pin down
Governor Newsom will take care of everything.
Yeah, what
wherever
do you think,
he's been for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, Boca.
So has he been? I mean, I've seen him on TV a lot, but
yeah, occasionally. Yeah, yeah. No, he's been missing in action, and now the mayor of LA is somewhat missing in action too.
I mean, she's done, right?
She's got to be done.
Yeah. And is Arnold the last Republican governor you guys had?
I can't think
of another one.
I can't think of another one either. There is a guy, what's his name? Caruso, I think. He ran against Bass as a Democrat, though he's really a Republican. But and he just barely lost. And there are some rumors that if Bass resigns, that there would be an effort to try to get this guy in.
Interesting.
Yeah, that would be an interesting play.
Yeah, you would. I kind of have expect my insurance rates to go up here. You know, I'm not sure it'll be enough to double everyone's rates in California. They're talking hundreds of billions of dollars.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, you just look at the houses that burned in Malibu right on the coastline. Every one of those houses is probably $10, $15 million. Then they're gone. They're just gone.
Dave and everyone, how much responsibility do you put on the homeowners that, unless you were just completely hoodwinked, if you knew you didn't have fire insurance, then shame on you.
Yeah, there's some of that. But if you can't, yeah, what do? If you own a house and you've had insurance for 10 years, 15 years, and all of a sudden, no, sorry, we're not going to offer you that anymore. And neither is anybody else, any other company. I'm not sure what you do.
You wonder if there's going to be some new federal program for that, that if the State Farm won't cover you, the feds will give you some sort of insurance rate.
No, it's a lot like Florida, right? Florida's got the same kind of problem with hurricanes.
Yeah, absolutely. And what California has, it's like fair trade or whatever, and the state offers insurance. But they don't have anywhere near money in their coffers to cover this.
Man, oh man.
Yeah, it's wild, and it's I think it is sending shockwaves across the country.
All right, buddy. Good luck. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All righty.
All right. Quick break. Right back. DGS.
I have found someone. I'm feeling more alone than I ever have before.
DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to you. Got some rain coming in, as Dave was just telling you. Refreeze tomorrow, so not out of this yet. Wheels, got some headlines for us?
I got one headline for you.
All right.
And I'm sure it's going to make a lot of people very frustrated. This is Scott McFarlane from CBS who reported this, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes ago. But the House administrator is telling members of Congress to start alerting their constituents that their inauguration tickets may now be commemorative because they're moving indoors.
Enough room at the inn.
Because from what I saw, and it was from Scott McFarlane, so I mean, or it was something that he retweeted. It's not BS. He's a really good reporter. The rotunda at the Capitol has only got room for about 400 people, and just the people that have to be there, it's like 300 people.
Yeah.
So you're talking about 100 extras, maybe at that point. So that means a lot of people that were donors, a lot of people that worked on the campaigns, whatever, they're just not going to be able to be there. But because of the cold, this is the story. And I'm just calling everybody involved soft. The high temperature on Monday in D.C. is supposed to be 25 degrees. It's maybe going to be 20 degrees around the time of the inauguration at 11 a.m. Are you kidding me? You have jackets and hats and coats and gloves and a historical, meaningful event. We're going to go inside because it's 20 degrees.
As you pointed out, people will be shirtless in Philadelphia.
They'll be at football games this weekend shirtless.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me we can't do it. And by the way, what do you think the coldest inauguration was ever?
Mm. Was it just the one from like 2016?
No, it was 1985. Ronald Reagan,
mm-hmm.
7 degrees with a wind chill of negative 20, and they did it outdoors, and they did it normal.
There you go, Ronnie.
You're all soft. Ronald Reagan did it. Your hero soft. Did it. And I'm calling everybody soft. This is not about party or candidate, because this is everybody. This is Congress. This is the whole deal. What is going on? You guys can't handle 20, 25 degrees outdoors for a couple hours, few hours? What are we doing?
What are they doing, Andrew? They
I'm
doing?
Sorry, man. This is, you know, and Come it's so now. Many of these people are the people that talk the big tough game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, seriously, man, you're being out-toughed by a dude that was out there 40 years ago in much worse temperatures.
Before they had hats and gloves.
They didn't have puffy mm-hmm. coats and fancy insulated gloves and DGS hats. To think. We should right. send them all hats, Dave.
There you go. There's
send them
the
all
move.
DGS hats. I don't know. Am I wrong for being like, in my day, we walked uphill both ways. I mean, like,
it's true.
It's not that cold. If it's 25 out, I don't even wear a jacket to work. I should wear a sweatshirt. Now, if I'm going to be outside, I'd be wearing, you know, something really
sure.
warm. Yeah.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
Andrew, got the rest of the headlines?
I got some more here. First off, U.S. President Joe Biden is commuting the sentences of nearly 2,500 people convicted of nonviolent drug offenses. He says this is due to disproportionate sentences compared to current laws, part of Biden's effort to address historic injustices, and marks the most individual pardons and commutations issued by any president ever. It follows previous clemency actions, including his son Hunter. He feels the need to correct sentencing disparities and outdated drug crime guidelines, and he doesn't feel as strongly about the war on drugs as a lot of people in the government do. He expressed pride in his clemency record and commitment to reviewing additional commutations and pardons. What do you guys think? I like it.
I'm okay with commutations and clemency and pardons so long as it's on a case-by-case basis. I know damn well that Biden didn't look at 2,500 files,
right,
but he asked people for that. So long as they've been vetted, I guess you just have to trust the president's judgment. But in general, nonviolent drug offenses where a lot of those drugs are now legal and, you know, yeah, ongoing businesses, okay.
Trump names Sylvester Stallone, Mel Gibson, and John Voight as special ambassadors to, quote, very troubled Hollywood. Gibson expressed surprise at being appointed a special envoy to Hollywood under the upcoming Trump administration. Despite the unexpected nature of the appointment, he stated that he's ready to offer his help and insight and joked that maybe he could get an ambassador's residence since his house has been destroyed by the wildfires. The goal of this is to revitalize Hollywood and bring more film production back to the U.S. Trump praised the trio as special ambassadors who will help restore Hollywood to its former glory. I don't understand this at all, and it feels very, very strange to take, like, three kind of, I mean, not to be too rude, but pretty irrelevant, washed up.
I mean,
wow, you guys are rough today.
I gotta say, well, first of all,
Sly's got a hit show.
Stallone
is still
pretty big, and Mel Gibson still makes stuff, and John Voight's awesome.
I mean,
he was in Ray Donovan. He was fantastic as Mickey Donovan.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Here's what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say I didn't say they're not making things anymore. I said they're washed up has-beens.
They're not. But see, washed up would mean that you're like out. They're still doing
washed
popular
up means
stuff.
You're not good anymore.
No, they're still doing popular shows and movies.
Washed up means bad.
Now, I don't understand exactly what they're being tasked with. Like, I don't know how three actors are going to be able to accomplish policy goals. But maybe, like, if the point is what they're saying, which is we want to make more of the movies here instead of people moving them to New Zealand or Canada or whatever, maybe there is a path where that can be helpful. But I don't know that I understand the whole ambassador to a part of a city.
We don't have time to go to Ann, I'm sorry, but she says that the inauguration going inside could be due to a small turnout, not weather, that people may not show up and Trump wouldn't like that.
Because of the cold, maybe.
Because of the cold.
That's a fair point. And by the way, I got to correct a little bit because I saw this right after I yelled.
You just realized John Voight sucks.
No, Ronald Reagan was the second one when it was cold. They did move it indoors for the 7 degrees. So I'm going
to shoot your rant all to
I'm
hell.
No, I still have the same rant, but I'm going to retract that part of the criticism. I take that back, but I still think you should be outside if it's 20 degrees. You're not that soft. Prudence, won't you come out to play?